Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If I told you that tomorrow morning you could wake up, roll over, get your smartphone, and look at it, and you could have a message, a personal message to you from God Himself, would you read it? Well, probably so. I got one this morning before I got out of bed. Seriously, before I got out of bed, I rolled over, I got my smartphone, I looked at it, and I had a message from God. Because I have the Bible app on my phone. And when I pulled it up, I read His Word. You know what that is? That is a message from God to me. What I needed to hear this morning from my Creator, I could get it on my smartphone. Now, I know some of you were thinking, oh, wait, so it wasn't like in your inbox, you know, you didn't have like, it didn't pop up like God and then the message or anything. No. Even better than that, God's Word, easily accessible. And this morning, as I was reading these verses, and it went through my mind, there are places in the world where they can't do this. There are places in the world where people smuggle the Bible into the country. There are places where God's Word is not valued by authorities, and indeed it's condemned, and you have people who are hungry for the Word of God, and we probably have Bibles all over the place. God's Word right there, God's message right there. Do we take that kind of advantage of it? Today, we're looking at the question, what if you lived like God's every word was true? We're continuing our series called New Beginnings, and last week we looked at surrender. Next week, we'll look at what if you lived like there was purpose in your pain, and we'll look at trials. But today, we're looking at God's Word, and we're looking at truth and the nature of truth in God's Word and how we apply this truth to our lives. Because there are some lies that maybe we have all believed that run contrary to God's Word. And we affirm God's Word. Probably many of us here who are followers of Christ, we would say, I absolutely believe God's Word is true. If I believe God's Word is true, it requires a response from me. And that response is a response of obedience. And that response is a response of trust. But so often, we say, I believe God's Word is true, but then we live like it's not exactly true. I believe God's Word is true. I believe the Bible is true, but I'm going to continue to live my life my way. I believe that sin will damage my fellowship with Him. He says so in His Word, but I don't think what I'm doing is really going to hurt me that badly. I believe God is in control of everything because He says so, but I'm still going to worry like all get out over these particular things. Well, if we can be as contradictory as anybody, myself included. But if God's Word is true, and we believe it is, then that means when we read the Bible, certain things are true. Now, today we're not going to go into all the particulars about why God's Word is true and how it's a collection of works in the New Testament from eyewitnesses and things of that nature. What I want to focus on today is the big so what. If God's Word is indeed true, maybe some of you are there and you're saying, I haven't made up my mind about this following Christ thing yet. I'm not a Christian yet. I'm just kind of exploring that. And so you say God's Word is true. So what? Well, this is the so what. If God's Word is true, then these things that we're talking about are absolutely, completely true. And they should change the way that we live our lives. We're looking in 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy tells us all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So these two verses tell us that when you read the Bible, first of all, it will reveal the perfect character of God. When you read the Bible, it will reveal the perfect character of God. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Now, you look at that and you say, what does that have to do with God's character? Well, just hold with me for a moment. The main tool that God uses to speak to us is His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. And we often make the mistake of viewing the Bible as just another book. We view it as something that's cold and it's lifeless and it's just black and white words on a page and that's it. But that's not what it is. The Bible is living and it's active. It's living and it's powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God's word is like an incredibly sharp sword that cuts down to the very essence of who we are, and it can divide us down to the very last cell, so to speak, the very smallest spiritual being of our own inner selves. The Bible can get in there and it can say, this is of God and these things are not. These things line up with the truth of Scripture and this one little section over here does not. It can discern our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. It can show us exactly what is going on inside of us. Whenever we read God's word, God uses it as a tool to start cutting away those things that are not of Him. And then by cutting away those things that aren't Him, also giving life to those areas where He wants us to grow and He wants us to mature. The Bible is both living and it's active. It is alive and it is effective in producing change. In John 6:63, Jesus says this, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Well, the reason God's word is living is because we serve the living God. God is not dead. God is not some vain idol. God is a living God, and His word is living and it's active. And whenever we read God's word, He speaks to us. He speaks to us personally. The message in the Scripture is meant for you. It's meant for me. That's why it's important for us to be in God's word and allow God's word to get into us. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 11, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." God intends for His word to be stored up and saturating every area of our lives. Why? Because God's word reveals His character. God's word is perfect. God's word is powerful. God Himself is perfect. God is powerful. When God speaks through His word, He's revealing something about Himself to us. His perfect nature, His power, His love, His mercy, His grace, His justice. All of these things come out whenever we look into God's word. Why? Because God's word reveals God. It reveals His character to us. Unless you think that God's word is not powerful, let's be reminded, it's God's word that spoke the universe into existence. It's by the word of God that the dead were called out of the graves. I love the passage in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 5. It's when Peter and the other guys, they've been fishing all night and they haven't caught anything. And Jesus says, "Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And Peter says, "We have toiled all night long." But then he says this, "But nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the nets." Don't just gloss over that. Peter says, "I've heard what you've said, and so therefore, at your word, I'm going to do it." Why? Because they were able to accomplish things by God's word that they were not able to accomplish by their own power, by themselves. The same is true for us today. When our power completely and totally fails, we find that God's word is absolutely and completely sufficient. His word is with power. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us that it is by His word, by the word of Christ, that all things are upheld. It says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." Whenever we read Scripture,
God speaks. That's why this passage we're looking at in 2 Timothy, it says that Scripture is God-breathed. Some translations say it is God-inspired, or it is given by inspiration of God. God speaks those words. And since the source of Scripture is God, we can trust Scripture fully. Why? Because it's God's Word. And if it's God's Word, then it comes from God. And God is completely and totally trustworthy. You find in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change. And since God doesn't change, His Word is unchanging. You find in Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is firmly fixed in the heavens." It stands still, basically. It stands firm. It is immovable. God reveals Himself to us through His Word. He reveals His character. What is it maybe that God has revealed about Himself through His Word, through the Bible, here lately when you've been reading? What is it that He wants you to know about Himself? Maybe the next time, maybe tomorrow, or maybe this afternoon, this evening, when you sit down with God's Word, maybe you need to pray before you get started. Maybe you just need to say, "God, show me what You want me to know about You from Your Word. Reveal Yourself to me from Your Word. Your Word is living and it's active, and I ask You that You would speak to me something about Yourself so that I may know You better from Your Word." You know what He'll do? He will answer that prayer. He will meet you in His Word. Oh, but sometimes, Dustin, sometimes it is so hard because I read and it's just so hard to read God's Word, and I just feel like I'm struggling with it, and it's just difficult, and sometimes I feel bored, you know. One of my favorite writers is A.W. Tozer. And if you ever read A.W. Tozer, some of his insights are so piercing that I often say that when I read A.W. Tozer, sometimes I will sit and I will read and I will get to a place on a page and I will just have to get up and just walk around and think about what he'd written, because it's just so mind-boggling. I'm trying to get my head around it. I was wondering about that, and I thought, wow, A.W. Tozer is just, he's so deep, and when he reads God's Word, it must just be so, you know, he's passed on now, but when he read it and he wrote about it, it just must have just come alive to him, and I bet he had a really easy time. And then I read a quote. He said that sometimes he would sit down with God's Word, and this was his quote, "and it would seem as dry as a burnt shingle." And I thought, wow, that's A.W. Tozer saying that? That sometimes he would sit down with God's Word and it was dry, it felt as dry as a burnt shingle. And he said, "but I would just keep reading and keep asking God to line my thinking up, line my heart up with Him." And he said, "and then eventually I would see that He was speaking. I would hear Him speak to me from His Word." Why is it dry as a burnt shingle sometimes? Well, it's not because of God's Word. It's because of me. It's because my character isn't lined up with His character. It's because I need to get my heart right and get the distractions put aside and take time and make time and carve out time to spend that with Him. When God's Word is boring, I can guarantee you it's not because of God's Word. It's because of me and a condition of my heart. And if I take the time to get before God and get still and recognize the excitement of knowing that God Himself wants to say something to me from His Word, He will. Whenever I read God's Word, it reveals the character of God. Whenever we read the Bible, it will offer practical steps toward obedience. That's your second point. It will offer practical steps toward obedience. Paul continues writing and says, "and Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." He uses four words here to speak of the prophet of the Scriptures: teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Let's just take each one of them very briefly. First of all, the idea of teaching. We saw earlier, you know, as we looked, that God's Word reveals His character to us. But also, God's Word reveals truth to us through teaching. Now, whether that's from hearing God's word through preaching or teaching, or whether that's Bible study or reading and meditating on Scripture yourself, God's word teaches us. It instructs us. Now, the Bible is understanding for truth. Any truth that I get has to go through this filter. If it passes through the filter of God and comes out on the other side as true, then okay. But if it does not, if society or if my flesh or if anybody says this is truth, but it does not pass through Scripture and it does not come out on the other side intact, then that means that doesn't line up. It means that it's not true. I need to take all teaching and I need to test it. And this is an important distinction I need to make right now. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've never had it here, which is good. I was a church that I was at years and years ago. I was attending. I went to a Bible study, and there was this man. He meant well, I know, but we read a passage, and then he went around the room, and he said, "What does this verse mean to you? What does this verse mean to you? What does this verse mean to you? What does this verse mean to you?" And people were like, "Well, to me it means this. I think this is what it means." And somebody else was like, "Well, I think it means this." And this wasn't some debatable passage. "And to me it means this, and to me it means this." And he got to me and I said, "Really doesn't matter what I think it means." He said, "Oh yeah, that's what we're doing. We're sharing what we think it means." I said, "No, it means what it means. God's word just means what it means. Now how we apply this, that's different for everybody. But we don't get to determine what it means. He determines what it means. He's already said, this is truth. This is what it means. So I don't get to say, well, I think it means this. Well, I think it means that. Well, we'll just agree to disagree, but maybe we're both right. No. God's word means what it means. It requires us to study. It requires us to look at it. It requires examination. How we apply it is different. He said, "Well, that's what I meant." "Well, that's not what you said." You said, "Well, what does it mean?" It means one thing. God's word has meaning. And God's the one who determined the meaning because God's the one who spoke it. So when God's word teaches us, we need to not ask a question, "Well, what does this mean to me?" We have to ask the question, "How do I apply this truth?" God's word teaches us. The second word he uses is the word reproof. To reprove something biblically is to point out incorrect behavior or expose it, to turn a light onto it. That's the idea of reproof. It's the same word that is translated elsewhere as evidence. It's a word that's translated elsewhere as convince. Well, evidence and convince, what does that have anything to do with reproof? Well, the idea is you're exposing something. You're exposing the truth or the falsehood of something whenever you reprove something. The Bible is not only that filter whenever we're looking at truth, the Bible is also a spotlight that shows us what is true and what is not. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Where is it that God's word maybe has revealed something in your life or exposed something in your life? Now, I'll tell you the easy thing to do. Here's the easy thing to do. Reading God's word, come to a verse, I read it, God convicts me. Oh, I look at it and I say, "God, I know that's what you're saying. But you know, I'm not really struggling with that like I used to. Thumbs up, it's not as bad as it used to be." That doesn't mean I get to continue. Or we'll say this, "Oh Lord, I read this verse. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to confess. I've done this before. I read a verse and I say, ooh, that convicts me. I read the next verse. I say, that reminds me of so-and-so. Lord, I wish they could read that verse." You ever do that? Get the attention off of yourself? But God is saying, "Listen, this is for you. This is personally for you. This is what I'm speaking to you. This is what I am reproving in your life. This is what I'm turning the light on in your life." He teaches us from his word. He reproves us from his word. The next word he uses is correction. He corrects us through his word. This is a word that means, I love this, it means to restore an object or to restore a person to the upright state. you were at your desk and you knocked over your coffee mug and you reached and you got it and you set it back up, that would be correcting it biblically. It would be restoring it to the former state. If your friend slipped down on a sidewalk and you reached and got him or her and brought that person back to their feet, that would be correcting in a biblical way. It would be bringing them back to an upright position. The way I think about this when I think about reproof and correction is this. I used to hike a great deal when I was up in the Smoky Mountains. And a lot of times you would be hiking and if the light was failing, if you didn't have a map with you, you'd come to some forks in the trails. And I like to think of reproof and correction like this. If you were walking down one of those trails and you came to a fork and you took the wrong one and you kept walking and you kept getting deeper and deeper into the forest and the light started getting dimmer and dimmer, and then before long, you're in the dark and you don't know what to do next. And then a light clicks on. And by the light of this flashlight, you see there are two figures there. And the figure with the flashlight says, "You are completely on the wrong path. My friend here will take you and get you back on the right path." That's the idea of reproof and correction. Reproof turns the lights on and says, "This is the wrong place to be." Correction says, "Let me take you back to where you need to be." God's word does exactly that in our lives. God's word says, this is truth through teaching. This is where you're not lining up with that truth, reproof. And this is what you need to do to get back on the right track and be right with me. That's correction. So God's word teaches us, it reproves us, and it corrects us. Where is it maybe that God has shown you that maybe you need correction? Maybe there are some things that need to be brought back to the upright position. And that God has been working with you or working on you about through his word. Don't hesitate. Do what he's saying. You know, when Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I've read that verse so many times. I remember the first time I read that verse and I realized that the reverse of that was true. When I do not keep his commandments, I am basically saying to him, "I don't love you. If you love me, keep my commandments." The reverse is true. If you don't love me, don't keep my commandments. That's been one of the most convicting things for me. When I find God's truth and God speaks to me and I start to go the other direction and God says, "Do you really love me? Are you living like you love me? Are you living like my word is absolutely true? If I do, I'll listen when he reproves me. I'll listen when he corrects me." The final word Paul uses to show the prophet of Scripture is training. This word is sometimes translated nurture. In the book of Ephesians, there's a passage where it's translated nurture. And it's also translated in the book of Hebrews as discipline. Which one is it? Is it nurture or is it discipline? Because he uses the word training. Well, the original word means a comprehensive training, everything. I don't know how many of you ever work out or anything like that, but when you exercise, what you do is you're causing little microscopic tears in your muscles. And those little tears brought on by the weight that you're pushing up or you're picking up or you're moving or the machine you're working on, those little microscopic tears then heal, and as they heal thicker and bulkier. And that's how you build muscle. But you have to have that time of rest. You have to have that time of stress, of that training, but you also have to have that time of rest in order to have muscle growth. So which is more important? The training in that sense or the rest? Well, both of them. The stress is important and the rest is important. They're both important. This is the whole comprehensive idea. And Paul says that whenever you read God's word, God's word trains you. It instructs you, it trains you, it builds you up. Sometimes that is through showing you where you're falling short and that's painful. And at other times it's encouraging and you rest in God's word and you say, "Yes, it is so sweet, it is so good." Which is more important? Both of them, because both of them are essential for our maturing. I love what David says in Psalm 19, verse 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word offers practical steps toward obedience. God's word shapes us, and it teaches us, and instructs us. It illuminates incorrect actions. It moves us back onto the right path. It uses whatever means necessary to promote growth in us. Where is it that God is wanting you to take that next step, that next practical step of obedience to Him? Where is it that He's saying, come with me, step out into this area with me? Every one of us has a next step that God is calling us to in our life with Him. He calls us to obedience. And then finally, the Bible will transform you to be more like Him. The last part of this passage we're looking at this morning, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It makes you mature. It makes you complete or suited for the purpose of God. The Bible is sufficient for that. That means we as believers, through God's Word and through His Spirit, we have been given everything that we need at any given point. You just think back over the Bible. Adam and Eve, when they were created, they had as much knowledge of God as they needed in order to live obedient to Him. You get to Noah. He needs a little more information. God gives him more information in order for him to be obedient. And on and on and on and on. And now we have everything that we need through God's Word and by His Spirit indwelling us. We have everything that we need in order to live obediently to Him. Everything. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't tell me who I'm supposed to marry. Okay, but it for you singles, it tells what kind of person you should be looking for. Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't tell me if I should take this job or if I should take that job. No, but the Bible gives you some criteria that you can use to make decisions. Now, granted, some of those decisions come through prayer, and some of those decisions come through asking counsel. But the Bible is sufficient. And as we looked at last week, so often we want the Bible to be you know the Magic 8-Ball? You remember the Magic 8-Ball? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you're of a certain age. It's this plastic ball that has this little multi-sided die inside of it with little words on it. Like yes, no, maybe, wait a while, ask again. And you shake it up and you turn it over and the little words pop up into this little window and you look at it and you're like, oh. And you like make decisions with this. Don't do that. Don't do that. When I taught for a number of years, I had one of those. I had little odds and ends. I had one on my desk. And I wish this was a joke. I gave a test, and I looked over, and there was this kid who was sitting next to my desk. And he had the Magic 8-Ball. He had taken it off my desk. And he had his pencil, and he was shaking it. And he was like, and then he was, and I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm not using it on the test. I'm just checking my answers. He did not do well. Sometimes we want to treat the Bible like a magic 8-ball. Like we don't want to spend time with God, but we just want to be able to go, oh, I'm going to flip through the Bible and God, the first verse that I come to, I'm going to put my finger down. That's what I'm going to do. No, don't do that. Okay, don't do that at all. That is not how we use God's Word. God's Word is not a magic 8-ball. That is not it at all. It is sufficient, though, for all things. We should use this to cultivate a relationship with God, and God wants to transform us to be more like Him, that we may be complete, that we may be mature, that we may grow up into His likeness and therefore be equipped to do everything that He wants us to do. When we hear God's Word, we respond. This is the very essence of faith. This is Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ or the Word of God. This is how we respond. We read God's Word and we respond in faith. We respond as though it is absolutely, completely true. We line up our beliefs with the truth We don't line the truth up with our beliefs. We don't come to the Bible with a preset notion of this is true, this is true, this is true. And now if I find something in the Bible that contradicts what I already believe, I'm going to just not believe that in the Bible. No. We go to the Bible as a sole source of truth, and I line my beliefs up to match the Bible. I do not try to line the Bible up to match my beliefs. But God wants to use the Bible to shape us into his likeness. This is what Jesus prays in John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Make them different. Grow them into my likeness through the word of God. This requires us, if we're going to be transformed by the word of God, we have to apply the word of God to our lives. There's a passage in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. James says the word of God is like a mirror. Most of you looked in a mirror probably this morning before you came, at some point in time. And the Bible says that hearing the word of God is like looking intently in a mirror. It's not a glance. It's looking very carefully in a mirror and then making the necessary adjustments. And he says, but if you look in the mirror and then you walk away very intently and then you walk away and you don't make any changes, that's hearing but not doing. You're deceiving yourself. You at once forget what you were like. It's like if you looked in the mirror and you saw your hair was all out of place and maybe you had broccoli in your teeth and you had like smudges of dirt all over your face and you're like, okay. And you just walk off and you go in for a job interview that way. No, you wouldn't do that. But he says that's exactly what we do whenever we look into God's word and God's word reveals something, it reflects something about ourselves, and then we walk away and we immediately forget the kind of person that we are. When we do not apply God's word, we promptly forget God's word. God's word requires action so that we don't forget it. It's not enough to just understand what we read. We have to apply what we read. And by that, God transforms us. God's word is a mirror, not a magic eight ball. He reveals himself to us. He shows us truth. He wants to grow us into his likeness. It's not some lucky charm that I have or something that I go to only when I'm in need. His words are the words of life. You'll find on your outline there is a list there that I'm just going to clip through very quickly. I'm not going to spend any time explaining these. This list is not mine. I heard it from one of my previous pastors. And basically, when you read God's word, you need to ask yourself, what does this passage say about God? And what does this passage say about me? Two important things. What does the passage say about God, and what does the passage say about me? And these are questions that I like to keep nearby, and I just like to go through these and kind of think through these as I'm reading God's word. Is there an example for me to follow? Is there something that God says that, that's an example. I need to pay attention. Is there a sin for me to avoid? We talked about reproof and correction. Is there a promise for me to claim? A promise that God has given to me that I can trust in and that I can rely upon. Is there a prayer for me to pray? There's lots of great prayers in the Bible. And sometimes I just like to go and take one of the prayers and just substitute in my own name or my own situation and pray that prayer. Is there a command for me to obey? Remember, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is there an error for me to note? Reproof and correction again. Is there a verse for me to remember? Do I need to hide God's word? Do I need to store God's word up in my heart through a verse that he is bringing up to me? All this shaping and molding and the training and the admonishing and the teaching and the learning, all of this cultivates our spiritual life, which allows us to be used most fully in God's hands. A man by the name of Kent Hughes read this quote some time ago, and it just really hit me. He said this, "You must remember this. You can never have a Christian mind without reading the scriptures regularly, because you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. You cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. Are you spending time with God's Word? Are you spending time with Him in His Word? This isn't trying to guilt you. That's not what I'm trying to do. Not at all. I'm trying to say, the Lord God, creator of the universe, wants to spend time with you. He enjoys spending time with you in His Word. He enjoys revealing Himself to you. This isn't about guilt. This isn't about shaming somebody into doing this. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying, God Himself wants to spend time with me. God Himself wants to give me a message personally to me from Himself that reveals His character, that will give me practical steps to obey Him, that will transform me into the likeness of His Son. I want to spend time doing that. There's a passage in John chapter 6, verse 68. Jesus has been laying out some very difficult teaching. And people start leaving. You find that a lot of times Jesus would say things and people would get upset, or people would say, this is a hard saying. And they would leave. And as some of the people started leaving Jesus because what he was saying just seemed so demanding that they needed to love Him more than anything else and follow Him more than anything. And Jesus looks at His disciples and He says, do you want to go away too? Do you want to leave me too? And Peter makes this statement, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter says, where else would we go? What other option is there? You're the only one who has the words of eternal life. His words are true. Where else would we go to get truth? His words are life. Where else would I go to try to sustain my life? His words can transform me into the likeness of Himself. What else does that? Nothing. Peter's words, to whom shall we go? I've asked myself that a lot over the years. Because there's a lot of other things that I've run to. Trying to get satisfaction, trying to find happiness, trying to find meaning, trying to find direction. But where else would we go? Jesus alone has the words we need. God's Word tells us that He loves us so much that His Son died on our behalf. That's the most mind-boggling truth of all. That God sent His own perfect Son to die on a cross on our behalf for our sins, so that we could know Him, and not just know Him, be transformed into His likeness and spend all eternity with Him. That's an incredible message of grace. And guess what? It's absolutely true. Since the Bible proves absolutely true, every promise of God, every command of God, every truth of God, every one of them can be depended upon. And He makes a promise that if we come to Him in repentance and we come to Him in belief, we will be saved from our sins. If you're on the fence this morning and you've been wrestling with that and you've been saying, I've been exploring the claims of Christ. I've been reading my Bible, but I'm just really not sure. Don't leave today without talking to somebody and taking that next step. Maybe it's just a couple of questions you have. Maybe for some of you, maybe in the beginning of this new year, maybe you say, you know what? I need to make time to spend time with God on a more regular basis because I want to know Him in that way. Not, okay, I've done it. I'll check it off my list of things to do today. I've done my quiet time. I've done my Bible reading. Check. Okay, I'm good for the day. I don't mean that. Don't approach it that way. Not at all. Approach it in the way of thinking, I get to spend time with my Creator who wants to say something personally to me. Maybe some of you need to follow Him in obedience to His Word, and maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to join the church. I don't know what the decision is. Whatever it is, Take the next step of obedience in living like God's word is absolutely, positively true. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you've given us everything that we need. By your Spirit, by your word, through your Son, you've given us everything that we need for life. You've given us everything that we need in order to know you. And Father, so often when I'm struggling with knowing you, it's usually because there's something in the way, and usually that thing that is in the way is me. My sin, my busyness, frustration, anxiety, worry, you name it. God, we all have those things that seem to block out our sight of you. Those moments when we look into your word and we see your truth and then we don't apply it and we walk away and we promptly forget exactly what you've said to us. Father, help us who believe in you, who follow you, be true to your word, be faithful to your word. It's a struggle because our flesh wants to fight every single thing that we do that is of you. Father, we ask that you would give us a desire, give us a passion, give us a hunger for your word. Help us to say like Peter did, Lord, where else will we go? Who could we turn to? No one else has the words of eternal life except for you. May we live like that is true, because it is. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.